Hello, dear listener, and welcome to an absolutely lovely lady who is quite incredible, one of the most amazing people I know, and I know many people know. But having given her that terribly big build-up there, Fiona, I'll let you introduce yourself now.
Oh, I don't know. I think you did a better job than I'm going to be able to on that one. Hi, my name's Fiona Eastman. I'm CEO and one of the co-founders of Victoria's Promise. So Victoria's Promise was started 11 years ago. I always say it's not a knee-jerk reaction to the passing of my daughter. It, as many parents get driven to and, you know, create wonderful charities and funding for a number of great causes. But we actually started Victoria's Promise to uphold a promise that our daughter, my daughter, Victoria, asked us to make, which was that she would survive her cancer and go on and help other young women through their cancer journey. She had experienced in her 29 years quite a lot around cancer. She was 9 years old when her paternal grandmother died of cancer, which had quite an effect on her. And then she was quite knocked that 3 months later, her mother was diagnosed with cancer. And that kind of put the fear of God into her, quite frankly. Because cancer is a scary word, although it should become more widely just openly spoken about and become less scary. Anyway, Victoria sadly didn't survive her cancer. She only survived 9 weeks from her diagnosis. It was a very rare cancer and very aggressive.
Sorry.
So my son and my son-in-law for 1 year then came and approached me about upholding this promise that we had made, Victoria. And my reaction was, no, I'm not going to get involved with starting a charity. I was old enough to have seen people that I'd met along the way do exactly that. And the charity failing, and it's another whole grief you have to go through. And I was a bit reticent towards that because a year before Victoria died, my husband died of a brain cancer. And I just felt I didn't want to walk into something that could create another form of grief. However, two young lads in their 30s managed to persuade me to do so. So my absolute response was, well, if we're going to start this, then failure can never be on the agenda. And there have been tough times, but there's been the most elating times as well. And I'm delighted to say that through all the valleys and mountains that we've climbed, as many, many charities do, we're still here and growing and supporting more young women than ever. So what is this support that we give? Well, if you look at our website, it would sort of give you part of the picture, because we can't put the whole story onto the website, or we'd sort of be offering people a menu to pick from of what support they would like. What actually happens is that when someone is sent to us, either by Macmillan or by oncology teams, or palliative care teams, or indeed if they come to us directly themselves, I have a chat on the phone with the young woman concerned. And when I say young woman, that's a woman aged between 25 years and 50 years of age. I have an initial chat with her and arrange to go out and visit her. And by going out to visit her in her home, I can truly get to grips with exactly what is happening within that home and the challenges that are being created through that young woman having been diagnosed with cancer. And of course, they can be at various stages of their cancer journey before they approach Victoria's Promise, and they can have a very wide variety of diagnoses of where their cancer actually staging is. So I have fortunately got a very high level of intuition. So putting that in place along with listening, which is deep listening, active listening, I then managed to start folding together what is going to ease this young woman and her family. and start having a conversation with her about ideas that I feel may be ways that will make some of this awful experience into as good an experience as we can, and bring more light into the family. It is individualized because at the end of the day, every human being is unique. So what we package together for each person is unique to that family's needs. But just to give you a couple of examples, one young woman who has six children, she was in a unique situation in many, many ways. But I managed through the conversation, about an hour and a half, 2 hour conversation with her, to know that the one thing that was going to really raise her and her children, and what was really going to make a difference to her and her children, was for us to fund one day a month, a fantastic day out for her and her children. And that could, sometimes it was actually a day out. Sometimes it was buying a fun takeaway and watching movies together and just having a good time. Other times I'd get photographs of them down at the coast eating fish and chips. Other times it was, you know, all going to a swimming pool. It varied, but it made a difference. And another family, it was not going to be appropriate for the particular young woman in this family to go home after her mastectomy. So we arranged to put her in a hotel for a few nights to give her peace and calm to recover. And other times it is, you know, counselling, home cleaning. It's very, very varied and tailored. And we support these women through Basingstoke Hospital, Winchester Hospital, and since earlier this year, Frimley Park Hospital.
Yeah. Are there many people in the team, Fiona, or is it largely you doing a lot of the heavy lifting here, Fiona?
Well, it is actually a very, very small team. Pre-COVID, it was a bigger team, and we were supporting less women at that stage. But one of the things that we're passionate about, over and as much as we're passionate in serving these young women and their families, is that out of every pound that we're given, the majority of it goes to the end use. And so actually there's myself and a woman that works 24 hours a week for the charity. Wonderful support to me. We want the majority of the money to go to that end use as much as we possibly can. But, you know, at the end of the day, we do need to understand that to really grow, it reaches a point that we do need funding that will help, you know, the core costs. And within that core cost, really, we could do with funding for another member of staff, because that would enable us to be able to do, go out and do even more.
Yeah. You're quite an amazing lady. You do some amazing stuff. What drives you?
So what drives me is that I don't like anyone to feel that they're isolated and dealing with a challenge on their own. I mean, if we look at the power of community, and we've all experienced that when you've got a challenge that you're facing, if you can find your peer group that deeply firsthand understands that challenge that you're going through, it eases the challenge and it stops you feeling so isolated and so caught up in your head. One of the big things that we do at Victoria's Promise is to ensure that the young women are, through us, connected to other young women, forming their peer support. And that's powerful. And that's one of the things that the many women that we've supported over the years really remarks on at the end of the day, the fact that they were connected with people that really got it. Mm. And they can be raw within that group. When you're going through cancer, and fortunately, you know, I've had the experience of going through cancer myself, I know that one of the key things that you're doing is you're wanting to keep the people that you love around you as buoyant as possible for two reasons. You don't want them worry, and you don't want them shadowing back to you their fears, because you've got a lot of fears within yourself. But those, so you use an enormous amount of energy keeping those around you buoyant, but you need space where you can dump. And it's through Victoria's Promise that these women can dump, because they can come into a group, be raw, and really and truly express their feelings and their greatest fears.
Just be clear, you don't get any government support, do you?
No, not at all. But I would like to address that, actually. The National Health System, we're not going to service, we're not going to go into detail. We all know the crisis that it's in. But being part of the committee, of one or two of the committees within the Hampshire Hospital Foundation Trust, I absolutely firsthand know the drive and the desire within the medical teams to be able to better address the well-being and not just the medical side. However, the funding isn't there. So a charity like Victoria's Promise enables to address that. So we can look after the emotional and mental well-being of the many of the cancer patients while they're looking after their medical needs. If I go in a bit deeper, if I may, through all my experience, and that's from that, it's my first-hand experience, and my wealth of experience through all the women and families that I've supported, there are three things that I feel that the medical team and those looking after their well-being can much stronger come together and address. And there are three things that have enabled me to find better peace in going through my grief from various members of my family that I have had to grieve their death, which has included my husband that I've mentioned, my daughter, very soon after that, my brother. And that is that you can find a semblance of peace if you know that that person that had the illness has been shown care, shown that they matter, and shown that everything that can be done is and has been done. And sometimes I find that lacking, and I'll get on my high horse on that, because that doesn't cost anything. And it makes an inordinate difference to the person who is ill, and mind what their illness is, and members of their family.
What's your message to the local business community?
Well, there's a number of ways. There's donating, which can be done through our Victoria's Promise website, which is victoriaspromise.org. In there, you'll find all the various means that you can support us. Fundraising, setting up a monthly DD, or thinking about the companies that you work for, the corporates, and seeing if you can mention Victoria's Promise within your company for employers to be more familiar with the charity, and perhaps, you know, if they're thinking to fundraise or do a challenge, to think of us and to have us as charity of the year. All these things really help, because the biggest challenge is matching the funding with the number of people that we're trying to support. And that number is vastly growing. I've got some stats here on it, and I'm not going to go into a whole load of long stats. It's too much for you. But if I just give you this simple one, in January 24 to March 24, we had 5 new women come to us for support. The number of new women that came to us for support in that same quarter in 2025 was 29.
Gosh.
Massive.
Yeah.
Now, I know part of that is because we started to support at Frimley Park Hospital. But to make it an absolute straight like for like, if I take the Frimley Park women out of that, it went from 5 to 16 from the Winchester and Basingstoke Hospital of women.
It's a big increase.
It's a big increase. It's a big increase. And we know the numbers aren't going to go down. And we also sadly know that, unfortunately, out of those 25 women, there's all too big a number that are still being diagnosed at a late stage. And those situations, apart from the devastation within the family, with us trying to support, it's a much more costly support. Mm. And when so we say we support young women through their cancer and beyond. So what does beyond mean? Beyond means there's two aspects here. That they've gone through their treatment, they've survived, and they've got a good, healthy outcome. But it's after they've been given that news that the whole experience hits them. And it's a very mentally challenging time when you've got everybody thinking you should be swinging from the chandeliers and just close the whole door on cancer and your experience. Because the truth of the matter is that's when it hits you. And then you feel very isolated again from those around you. And the other beyond, of course, is when a young woman loses her life to cancer. I will not say loses her battle. That's a word that I don't use at all. Or fight with cancer. It's the outcome of it, that it's beyond the ability for her to survive. And then there's the family to take care of. And we can be supporting children for 2, 3, 4 years after they've lost their mother.
Yeah. Fiona, Victoria would be so proud of you. Is she always with you? Always.
Oh, yeah. So Victoria sits on my shoulder. And I promised a number of years ago that I'd take her for a heck of a ride.
And you certainly have, haven't you? Good Lord.
But I'm forever grateful to her for her asking us to make that promise. And for the fact that, well, she couldn't fulfill it, that we've been able to go on and do that.
Yeah. Fiona, while I give you a chance just to think of a final thought, I'm sure, dear listeners, you found this as moving. I always find it moving talking to Fiona. She's, as I say, one of the most amazing people I know. And if you can help Victoria's Promise, please do. What's that website again?
Victoria'sPromise.org.
.org. So, Fiona, what's the final thought you'd like to leave our dear listeners with?
Well, I think I'd like to move away from cancer for a moment, because cancer is a part of life, and I also say this to all the women that we're supporting, that they mustn't forget that they are who they are. It's that at this point in time, they have a cancer diagnosis to deal with, but that doesn't stop them being everything beautiful and wonderful that they are. And so some of my thoughts, just to provoke, is... if I look back in my life to my younger life, I dealt myself quite a high standard and a hard path, that I felt as though I had to be totally responsible for myself and be able to deal with everything myself. And in my latter years, I would have absolutely found the power of vulnerability. And that, you know, if you show your vulnerability, it gives other people around you the availability and the permission to show their vulnerability. And once we share with others our vulnerability, we're opening up for others to be able to help us. And at the end of the day, that is what human beings really want to do. And if we really look at what will lead us to our greatest fulfillment, it isn't meeting a goal. It isn't saying, if at the end of the next quarter, I've sold this number of cars, or I've got this amount in my bank account or whatever, because you can never reach a goal. Because as you get to that goal, you create another goal. But fulfillment comes in the service of others.
What a lovely thought to leave people with. Fiona, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time, Matt. Thank you.